all of this is like important stuff that could inspire people, the next generation of thinkers.
Hi, I'm Kate.
And I'm Phil.
And this is The Underground, the podcast for garden sector professionals. Each week, we discover the trailblazers and innovators who are shaping the future of garden care in the UK. So, without further ado, let's get down and dirty.
So, we're delighted to welcome Megan Warren Davis onto the podcast this morning. Megan is the social media manager for the Young People in Horticulture Association. Megan, welcome to The Underground.
Hello, Megan.
Thank you so much for having me and taking time to set this up and let me on the podcast.
No, it's great. So, Megan, you wear a number of hats and that must keep you incredibly busy. Can you just give me a little bit of background on the different roles that you've got?
So I work as a digital marketing assistant for a commercial grower. Right. I also have my own freelance work under Forest Interior, where I do photography, videography, editing, stuff like that. Right. I also create my own socials to really build up that kind of side of things, that kind of brand. And so I do a lot of commercial photography for different companies, whether that's the plants themselves taking pictures of, or it could be products relating to plants as well. I've taken a lot of pictures of. And then I do the volunteering as a social media manager for YPHA. So yeah, fantastic. Lots of hats.
Yeah, lots of hats. So what does a typical day look like for you then?
Is there a typical day?
Well, yeah, good point. It sounds rather boring, but actually it's mainly admin work. Work on most of the important projects. So I have to like stack them in priority order, so it really depends. That could mean writing scripts, filming content, writing articles or editing photos. I might be taking photos for clients all day, and depending on the location and the time of day they're needed, and if it's flowers or plants, depending on when they're out in bloom or at their peak. And my whole day might just be doing that as well. And then in the evenings, I work on my own content and I schedule it and I do the YPHA content. And some of those videos are really highly produced. So there might not be that frequency on the YPHA socials. So yeah, that's my day. It's quite a long day when it's like that.
Long day, but interesting and very varied. So Megan, how did you get into horticulture?
So I was working in hospitality for about 6 years in hospitality while I was studying my master's, and I was looking for something close to home that I could work on my projects and do my writing in the meantime. And this was about COVID, so there was a lot of issues in the hospitality industry with restrictions on guests and stuff. So I was on a 0 hours contract. There wasn't that work for me coming in that industry. And so I was looking for anything in my local area, really. And I applied to be a seasonal worker at a local plant nursery. So it was completely by accident, really. I do have an interest in plants, but it's more, mainly the house plants. At university, I was given a little cacti for Christmas one year, and someone saw that and thought, oh, she must love plants. So for my birthday, absolutely, for my birthday, they were like, oh, we're going to get her a selection of succulents. And then it just kind of snowballed. And I really liked nurturing them and taking care of them.
So it just grew.
Yeah. Yes, I like that.
So one of your roles is as the social media for the Young People in Horticulture Association. We'll call it YPHA from now on. It's a great organisation. So do you want to tell us a little bit more about what it does and what are the aims of the YPHA?
So the goal is to really inspire and retain young people in horticulture, really look after the young people already in the industry, as it can be quite isolating for young people, especially in the past, if they haven't built a network, they haven't got those connections, and also encourage businesses to better nurture their young people in their companies. And we're working with businesses to help facilitate that. That's our first objective, is to really try and build a culture around horticulture, but for young people. So they really want to stay in the industry. And our next goal is to help young people enter the industry by really highlighting horticulture as a career option, which is not often talked about in schools and education currently.
Absolutely not. It certainly wasn't when I was at school. Definitely not. So can you describe to us some of the activities that the YPHA organises and gets up to?
So we mentioned schools and like kind of the education side of things. We really want to help develop our members' knowledge and really facilitate that. So part of that is Kyle puts on our little Zoom seminars. It's only an hour and it's less frequent in peak season, but we try and get some regular industry experts to speak about their specialist subject in their fields and really help broaden people's knowledge about different aspects of horticulture. So we had Greens teams come on and they did a presentation about horticulture and film. And that's such an interesting area that you might never even have thought about. Who creates these film sets, these jungle scenes? They're real plants. Yeah. And they've been working with Jurassic Park, with Barbie, with Mary Poppins, all these interesting like films. No one knows about the horticultural side of that industry. And so I thought that was absolutely fascinating. And it really resonated with our members. And I know there's a lot of other interesting jobs within horticulture that aren't just really talked about or discussed. It's kind of like a hidden secret behind a door that you've got to open. So it's really showcasing that. We also really try and bring better visibility to the employers when it comes to young people and their needs, and try and be a catalyst for that change. So what do young people in a job, what do they need? They need training, they need visibility, they need to be involved in projects that help develop their career and stuff like that. Otherwise, they're at risk of leaving and going somewhere where they can do all of that. And it might not be in the horticultural industry. We are an advocate for change within the industry as well. We've created surveys and presented this data to the House of Lords last year, which was part of the report Sowing the Seeds, a Blooming English Horticultural Sector, where we had Lily go and speak at the House of Lords and really advocate for our young people and for the educational side of things in the horticulture industry to bring awareness to the industry and young people within it.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of our members, they sit on boards like within our committee. We've got the HTA, RHS and NFU. So it's like really trying to get young people into those positions and amongst decision makers to really facilitate change in that way.
Right. How long has the YPHA been going for?
Since 2020.
Since 2020. So it's done an awful lot in just a short, you know, a short space of time, hasn't it? And I really wish it had been around for me when I was first starting out. But yeah, it's really important, isn't it, to just highlight the other kind of industries that are there within horticulture. I mean, I myself worked on TV gardening. You know, no one ever thinks about that. It's all, you know, a gardener is somebody who mows, somebody who trims, somebody who weeds. But there's just so much variety out there. And that's what I find so exciting. And we need to get that message through to schools, you know, to education, definitely.
So we've mentioned there about education, but what other barriers do you see there are to attracting young people into horticulture?
I really think it's not being encouraged enough. I've worked with some excellent, great managers in the past that have been so incredibly encouraging and have allowed me, as someone who's gone into the horticulture industry completely blind, knowing no one, not really much knowledge about plants, able me to network and put me up for opportunities that I never would have been able to do had those managers not encouraged me or supported me through that. And unfortunately, not everyone has the same experience as me in that regard. Yeah. But I will never forget those people that have helped me and inspired me to stay in the world of horticulture.
Oh, that's great.
That's really great to hear.
But I do still think it's the lack of visibility in education and career progression in horticulture. you know, horticulture is a solution for some of the world's biggest issues, such as climate change, figuring out sustainability. So it really should be seen differently, and something schools should really try and educate more on. There's barely any talk about the industry in schools. We have, you know, certain little modules in GCSE, but you're not actually interacting with the plant. You come out of that, you know about auxins, and that's if you remember afterwards, but you don't know much at all about the growth or how important they are in society. I just found out about iridioplasts from looking at my own Tradescantia plants and wondering why they have glittery leaves and what causes that. The modified plastids create iridescence in the plants by creating a crystal-like structure that reflects light. And that's something that could be used in making organic road signs or reflective material in the future. And all of this is like important stuff that could inspire people, the next generation of thinkers. Yeah. To think like that, think, why is that plant shiny? Why does it grow like that? And how we can use nature in creating different technologies in the future that benefit society.
That's so good to hear, isn't it? Because Phil and I were talking earlier about sustainability, because a lot of our podcasts have been talking to people and sustainability. And we said one of the things is younger people coming into horticulture, just generally, that is something that you care about, that you know much more about than the older generation. So it's so heartening to hear you say all that, definitely. And really interesting. You've said things that I don't know about, so I'm going to be Googling this afternoon, definitely.
There's so many resources, amazing resources out there on YouTube, yeah, on the university websites and stuff. But it's just getting that person to ask those questions, yeah, about plants and look at them in a different way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So, Megan, if you could wave a magic wand, what would be the one thing that could transform the industry for young people?
I really feel passionate about this, and it's the wider perception of horticulture that is incredibly outdated and is something that needs to be fixed. We want horticulture as a career to be something that young people aim for and break the preconceptions that it's laboursome or it's only for a certain type of people. You know, I've met some incredibly hard workers and intelligent people in horticulture. There's so many, it's a science. And that knowledge is then kind of put down as, oh, you just work with plants. So, they're so smart, so clever. There's so much innovation around horticulture, and it's just looked at as something like, oh, you work with plants.
Yeah, we were talking with one of our guests just the other week, Jane Hartley, and she was saying that she's done work with young people in schools and how more often than not it was the kids who were misbehaving would be the ones who were sent out to do the gardening,
yeah,
rather than a whole class activity. And it's so sad to see that, because it is such an amazing industry. And as you said, you know, you've got scientists, you've got everybody, you know, there's so much going on within the industry, and it's being lost in the education system.
Definitely, definitely.
Interestingly, it's the same with like practical work. At my school that I went to, product design and like the woodworking side of thing, was I wasn't able to do that at first because it was seen as something that, you know, the lower sets would be put forward to do, whereas I had a really strong passion about product design and stuff like that, and eventually I was allowed to go and work with them, and I did very well in that. And it's like kind of more practical areas are often looked down upon. Yeah, and,
absolutely.
You know, it's a real disadvantage because, you know, so much can come out from it.
It's such a shame to hear that that's still happening. Given what we know about climate change, about everything that's going on in the world, that horticulture is still looked down upon. It's such a shame. So I know we've really got to change that. We've got to keep pushing. And I think what your organisation is doing is amazing. So apart from the perception of horticulture within society, what do you think are some of the biggest challenges within the industry currently? Do you think they affect young people working in the industry differently to older workers?
So I've got two answers to this, basically. And One of them, I think, is it's an issue across agriculture and horticulture, and it's the increasing prices due to, you know, the cost of living crisis. The public don't want to pay those costs for a plant, but a plant could lead to long-term satisfaction when you're nurturing it and you're growing it, and you can make more out of this plant by propagating it. But this kind of increase in prices means that people are less likely to buy the plants in the first place, and it really means that nurseries can't charge as much for those plants, making the margins even lower than they already are. And how can nurseries then pay for really important things like peat-free research or investing in staff if the margins are just way too tight? And how are they going to invest in training when they can barely keep the staff? If, you know,
I heard Michael Perry, Mr. Plant Geek, saying something just this last week. He was talking about the disparity between the cost of cut flowers and a plant that you'd buy. And he was just saying how, you know, people are prepared to pay £25-30 for a bunch of flowers, but yet wouldn't want to pay that for a plant. And the plant's going to live, you know, I mean, might carry on living for years. It depends what a plant is. But the cut flowers last couple of weeks, if you're lucky, maybe a week.
If you're lucky, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know.
And you've got the air miles as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's really interesting. And I think that's a perception thing and something which needs to be addressed, I think, as well.
Well, absolutely. When you think of a lot of people going into the garden centres will, as you said, spend a tenner on coffee and cake and then moan that a bag of compost has gone up by 50p, you know, because it's peat free.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as well, it's interesting about the cut flowers point, because there's a lot of advertising online about cut flowers and the cut flower subscriptions and stuff. And, you know, in movies and films, what do the characters give in rom-coms? They give a bunch of flowers. So it's ingrained in society that that is something that you do to give as a gift. But why can't we change that? Yeah. And, you know, instead of having flowers is a plant and use that as marketing material, instead of giving a flowers, try this and it will last you for many years. It becomes more sentimental as well. And, you know, we've got plants in my garden that are from cuttings, rose cuttings taken from funeral flowers and wedding bouquets and stuff like that. And these plants just become way more than just a rose bush or this sweet peas, everlasting sweet peas. That was my late aunt. And, you know, that I think is a different way of looking at it that I think the horticulture industry should try and pick up on and use that and remind people that this way exists as well.
Bit like saying a dog is for life, not just for Christmas.
Yes, so, you know, absolutely.
A plant is for life, not just for Valentine's or something. There we go. New business venture.
I always love receiving plants as gifts because I know that, even if I ends up looking not too great, I can take a cutting from it and I can grow it on.
Brilliant. I love that. So the second part was, just in case we've forgotten our train of thought, do you think that young people are affected differently than older people?
Yeah. So partly it's this loss of knowledge that make it harder for young people in companies. So much information is gained through practice and talking to the older retiring generations that allowed the young people to inherit that knowledge and then apply it in their companies if they want to set up their own business. And a lot of that is going to be lost as these generations kind of age out of the industry, and it'll make it a lot harder for young people to work in the industry as they're not gaining that knowledge. With the YPHA, we try and mitigate that by linking older mentors up with younger members to kind of bridge that skills gap, either through networking events, our seminars, our new accelerator program, and really trying to pass on that knowledge, because you can't just learn out of a textbook in a lot of the cases, and it doesn't apply in the real world.
We're going to take a short break. But in the meantime, it's time for Kate's Corner, where we discover the musings and sage advice from the Gardener Guru. So, Kate, what are we going to be discussing this week?
Well, I'm going to be talking about lawns, Phil. A lot of us still have lawns. A lot of us Brits love our lawns. And we've had probably one of the worst winters for lawns, would you not say?
Oh, it's been awful, awful, awful.
It really has. Well, I was with my dad at the weekend and he had mown the lawn because there was actually some dry weather down in the southeast. So I do think if you have got the chance, get mowing, but make sure your lawn mower blade is on a high setting so you don't scalp that lawn because it will rip with it being a bit wet. But what I do want to say is now is a really good time to give your garden a bit of a feed. So give it some lawn feed because that will really help kickstart it. And also, if you've got some really bad waterlogged areas, then what you want to do is do some aeration. And all you need to do at the moment is just stick a garden fork in and just wiggle it about a bit and try and do your whole area, sticking that garden fork in, wiggling it, and just to create some holes. And if you can, rake in or brush in some top dressing, which has got quite a bit of sand and loam that will, again, help with that aeration. Phil, you know all about doing this time.
I certainly do. And I'll tell you what, it would be a lot easier to do it now than in the height of summer when it's rock hard.
Absolutely. Yes. And now's a good time. And also it's a fantastic workout. But definitely give your lawn a feed. You can also, as the weather is warming up, you can start to do some reseeding. So if you've got any bare patches, you know, you can get a lawn repair kit or just some good lawn seed. Pop that down and make sure it stays moist. I don't think we've got a problem with that at the moment.
No.
And that'll just help any of those kind of bare patches that have been created after the winter and all this horrible weather. But yeah, don't forget your lawn.
Thanks, Kate.
You're welcome.
And back to the show.
So you've kind of brushed on how horticulture isn't seen as a cool thing to do. It's not sexy. It's not seen as being sexy. So what do your friends make of your enthusiasm for plants? And do you find that with them you can be a bit of a plant evangelist?
Well, interesting you say that because actually, and I'm going to not talk about any friends that I have in horticulture in this because there will be that kind of love of plants or interest there, but outside of horticulture there has actually been a really strong interest, at least since the lockdowns, in plants. Like my cousins have started getting plants. They're not really plant people, but they've got house plants and it brightens up the space. My friend who is studying to be a doctor, she has got so many house plants. She likes nurturing them, and you know, it's easier than a dog or a pet to have something to nurture. You can have a plant, and if, you know, something goes wrong, oh well. And also the health benefits with plants, especially house plants in urban environments, to help clean the air in certain ways. And that is actually seen as not a bad thing necessarily. And it's not as looked down upon by people my age. My older sister, who is she's around 40 now, so she's the generation above me, does look down on it because it doesn't bring as much income in as, say, another industry would. If I suddenly had a really good income from it, she'd be like, oh, that's amazing, how can I get into this? But there is this stereotype. And it was, I remember this one comment, and she was like, oh, you work with plants? And I was like, yes. And I create videos about plants. And she said, who watches these videos? Why would anyone talk about plants and listen to it? And I said, just the same way you watch videos about baking. But yeah, so it's interesting, the different generational.
That is interesting. Yeah, I would have thought that age would be getting into the gardening and watching kind of Gardener's World, you know, but obviously not. And I think maybe, as you said, lockdown had a lot to do with it for younger people with the houseplants.
I think as well on that, it's, you know, she's got AstroTurf in her garden. She's,
oh my goodness,
a lot of people like that, they might have a garden, but it's mainly patio and then the AstroTurf. They're not really interested in the maintenance or how that affects the environment, having that amount of plastic. So yeah, that can be another thing. No offense to my sister. She's lovely.
Just got to educate her.
Yeah. I'll absolutely send this to her.
No, do, because plastic carpet is one of the worst things you can do in a garden for wildlife and the environment. It's a shame that people are still putting it in. But it's, you know, the garden is for some people is just another room, isn't it? Just another room in their house that they don't have to worry about too much.
Yeah. Interesting what you were saying there, Megan, about your sister's attitude towards what you do. And it was a financial thing. And I think that's another one of those barriers to young people wanting to enter into horticulture is that disparity in wages between horticulture and other sectors. So I think that's something which also needs to be addressed. And I don't know whether you had any thoughts on that.
Well, I always see as I was so grateful that I could have that job to begin with as a seasonal worker, and it's an entry-level job. There still does need to be those jobs for people like me with no experience and with no formal education about the industry to get into the industry. When it comes to managerial roles and stuff like that, I think it really depends on the company as well. And you'll quickly find that companies will struggle to recruit people based on the wages if they haven't already found that out. But we know that not all companies have that power to, or that monetary backing to pay higher wages.
No, but it's an important one, isn't it? I think for me, what comes across is that your sister and a lot of people, and we don't want to dig at your sister here, that's so mean, is that people are still looking at how much you earn. Is the important thing rather than what you're actually doing and what you love, you know. So somebody looks down on somebody if they're not earning as much money as a lawyer, solicitor, doctor, whatever. But actually, the sort of work you're doing could ultimately save the planet. And I think that's the key, isn't it? You know, just because you don't earn loads and loads of money doesn't mean you're a lesser person.
Yeah.
But it's still not an excuse for some of the pay that is offered for horticulture either.
Yeah, and it can be seen as a wider class issue within this British society, as you know, that's why people look down on people with lower pay and stuff. So it's a broader issue as well.
Yeah.
So Megan, we've already established that you do an awful lot of different things within your various roles in horticulture. But I was just wondering whether you've got any projects coming up that you're particularly excited about.
Yeah, so something, and it's within YPHA, that I am super excited about is the Launch Success Challenge that Nat spoke about at the Garden Press event. And it's basically The Apprentice meets Dragon's Den meets horticulture. We'll have 10 applicants that get to launch a brand new product in the UK, and they can spend time in the Netherlands. They meet with the plant breeder. They're going to go on all these trips around the country to visit factories, get hands-on experience in the grower settings and behind-the-scenes learnings that they wouldn't find on typical horticultural courses, but these skills are very much needed going into commercial horticulture. You know, learning about calculating commercials, preparing pitches, creating a product identity and the marketing behind that. I think it's going to be very exciting. So yeah, they get to come up with the name of the plant, and it'll be launched at BBC Gardeners Wildlife 2025. So yeah, it's super, super exciting. That I just can't wait. I'm going to be hopefully recording it, documenting it, their journey. So it'll be really fun to see what they come up
yeah,
with.
Yeah, fantastic.
Will you get to go to the Netherlands, do you think?
Hopefully. I would absolutely be down for going to the Netherlands.
Yeah, me too.
Yes. Yeah, everyone loves a trip abroad. But yeah, it'd be really interesting to see their kind of breeding facilities and like how it works and more about the plant itself and behind the scenes.
Yeah, really entrepreneurial sort of scheme that you've got going there. So I think that's great. Yep. Are there any innovations or new gardening trends that you're excited about or keen to discover more about?
So I'm more excited about the houseplant side of thing. Uh-huh. But actually, it started outdoors in its hydroponics and aeroponics that interests me. Particularly with if there's any issues with getting soil or getting the right kind of soil and It's a way of growing en masse without having soil issues. You'll have other issues in the water and stuff like that, but I find it very interesting how then you can stack plants with aeroponics and grow thousands of plants on top of each other if you add the lightings and all these alternative mediums. And I think growing soilless is something that really interests me. My granddad and my great-granddad were very into hydroponics and stuff like that, and they used to grow a lot, and my granddad was a farmer, and they were very interested in the future of growing that way. Mm-hmm. And now I'm seeing more in the houseplant space, people using those clay balls and the lacquer and the pon and all these different mediums that you can grow in. Stratum, I use that for transferring tissue culture plants into soil because it's sterile but still contains the nutrients that are needed for those plants. So yeah, that's what really interests me at the moment, and it's kind of a trend that's continuing to grow.
Very much with younger people, would you say?
Yes. So there's this one plant influencer, Kaylee Ellen. If you don't know her, maybe look her up, and she can tell you all about rare houseplants and everything. And she set up the Rare Plant Shop, and she has a YouTube channel where she discusses all of her plants. But she was using these clay balls as a way of not having soil when she's shipping the plants, to get rid of the soil and the shipping. Right. And so she would grow these plants semi-hydroponically with these clay balls. And then afterwards, a lot of other people started doing that as well, because you don't get fungus gnats, you don't get other issues. People say there's less rotting that way. So yeah, she has really influenced my generation of people around my age to try out these alternative mediums and stuff like that. So I see it all the time now on Instagram, people with the lacquer.
I love it.
Yeah, and I think hydroponics just looks, you know, the actual look of it, where you can see the roots and stuff as well, is really interesting, because of course they're normally hidden away, aren't they? You know, root systems are hidden. That's the whole point of them. They're in the ground and you don't see them. But when you've got something where you can actually see the roots and stuff of the plant, I think that is fascinating, isn't it, to see?
Well, it's one of the first things you do with kids when you do school gardening. I mean, I did school gardening, and you grow a runner bean in a plastic cup with kitchen roll around it, you know, and then you sometimes put dyes in it so you can see. And the kids used to absolutely love that. But also it's so much more filmic as well and photogenic to see this happening. And I think so many more people now, because since lockdown and with Instagram, are just growing cuttings, you know, the root and cuttings in water. That's become such a common thing to do now. Whereas when I was younger, you know, you wouldn't dream of doing a cutting, just plunking it in a cup of water. So that's really exciting. I love that.
I've got another little question for you. So do you have a favorite gardening tool or a gadget that you couldn't do without?
It's interesting, because I don't do much outdoor gardening, but indoors I have a Sansi bulb. It's 36 watts and it's amazing, absolutely incredible. And it's the same wavelength as daylight, so you're not getting this blue light that's currently in the background. I have my plants on shelves behind me.
That's a great setup.
They look almost like an aquarium or something at the back there.
It's not that blue light. It's really nice bright daylight, and it can be screwed into any kind of screw fitting, and it's so bright, and my plants absolutely love it, especially my variegated plants that really need that extra light to remain variegated. They also need that extra light for their growth as well. So yes, that. But for gardening side of tools, I guess it's kind of a tool, gardening gloves, the ones from Fever Few. Yes, and they're really good. I tried them the other day and they're really good for like digging. Unfortunately, one of my chickens passed away, so I had to dig a little hole for it and plant a camellia plant over. And and it stops all the callousing because it's got padding, but you can also use your phone at the same time because of the fingertips, and it fits women's hands really well. And they're adjustable straps. It was just really, they're really good gloves. So I highly recommend them to anyone doing outside gardening work.
Brilliant.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you talked about the light bulb because that keeps coming up in my feed on Facebook. And I was wondering if it is as good as people are saying, and you've really found that works.
Absolutely worth it. So worth it.
I think for my cuttings, I could definitely do with that, especially with the grey weather we've been having. Brilliant. So, Megan, I mean, I think we know that you enjoy a bit of gardening, especially houseplant. But what is it about horticulture and gardening that you love?
I think that it's kind of that satisfaction of like growing and nurturing plants and then finding little bits about the plants, just like the iridescence and finding all these interesting little facts. I had no idea about how they were propagated before I started my seasonal job at the commercial nursery, and I've then applied that to my own plants at home, and I, you know, propagated 30 lavenders, and sadly they all took, which meant I was inundated with lavenders. Like, where do I put them? And they grow really, really, really big. And you realize once you know the certain steps for propagation, like whether it's a cutting or division, or if you do have to go the tissue culture route, all these different steps you can take, you can create hundreds of plants out of just a few. And I love that. I'll never run out of plants again, I think.
That is wonderful. And that you're doing tissue culture as well at home. I mean, that's so geeky, but in such a good way. I love it.
There are videos out there on YouTube that you can follow along that show you how to do tissue culture at home. Without using all the scientific equipment. Obviously, there's a high risk of losing them that way because of contamination. You don't have an autoclave or any of these labs. But yeah, you can do it in a microwave. And there's a lot of YouTubers and videos on that. So if anyone's interested in doing that themselves, check out YouTube.
Fantastic.
Oh, I'm going to. I know what I'm doing this afternoon. I'm going to lose myself in YouTube today. So finally, Megan, do you have a plant or flower that will always put a smile on your face, whatever the day's been throwing at you?
You know, I spoke earlier about kind of the plants that have that extra meaning. And so I bought an Alocasia Jacqueline plant. So my old manager would give us garden centre vouchers for her team at Christmas as like little thank yous. And I saved mine up and I got the Alocasia with it because I really wanted one. And now it always reminds me of her and that team. And it always, you know, brings a smile to my face because they're such lovely people. Also, the philodendron onyx, that was a gift from my supervisor at work for my birthday a few years ago, and I've still got it behind me on my shelf. And you know, it was sort of cutting from her own collection, and I guess those plants will always put a smile on my face because they remind me of them.
Oh, that's lovely. That's so lovely. Thank you for that.
Yeah. I've been incredibly impressed with your knowledge and enthusiasm.
Absolutely.
For the plants. It's just
passion.
Passion for it. I mean, it's quite inspiring, to be honest.
And if I was starting again, if I was at school or college, if I listened to this, I'd be thinking, oh, I'm going to look into this horticulture. There's more to it than meets the eye, definitely. So thank you for that. And we need to spread the word. And the YPHA and people like yourselves are really doing that. So keep doing what you're doing. It is brilliant.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on and allowing me to speak. And if there is anyone out there between the ages of 18 and 35 who work in horticulture, please come and join the YPHA, that is the Young People in Horticulture Association, ypha.org.uk. We have so many opportunities for young people in the industry and would absolutely love to have more members. We're nearly at 900 members.
Woo!
And we would love you to join our membership.
Fantastic. That's a great plug for the YPHA.
And
we would definitely encourage any young person to get involved. Thank you so much, Megan.
Thanks so much, Megan.
We really appreciated you coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my goodness, Phil, that was just incredible. I love the passion.
So inspiring.
But also what I loved is she makes horticulture cool.
Absolutely.
You know, and yes, you can say it's geeky, but it's in a good way. It's in a cool way. It just shows how much is out there that young people can get involved in. And it's so exciting. It is not just getting a mower out and doing a bit of digging. There's so much more to horticulture than just that. You know, even though that is important, it's just so wide ranging. And yeah, I just love that enthusiasm and knowledge. Although I have to admit, you know, I call myself a horticulturist, but I did, I wasn't quite sure of some of the things that were being said about some of the indoor plants.
No.
The iridescence, all that. I'm going to have to go back and have a good listen and then get onto Google.
Absolutely. And using a microwave. I mean, honestly, that lost me. But
well, I'm not surprised.
I mean, her passion is just amazing. So I really enjoyed that conversation.
But just so interesting to find out different things, because most of the people we've talked to so far have been either involved in the industry, as in retail type, or outdoor gardening. So to hear somebody talk about indoor gardening, about houseplants, when we weren't expecting it was, yeah, it was great. And I've learned loads and I've been scribbling down notes. I don't think I can read them, but I'm definitely going to find out more about the iridescence and the tradescantias. And yes, tissue culture in a microwave. That sounds
brilliant.
Fascinating. I know people used to sterilize compost in a microwave and even their oven when they were that desperate.
Right.
But yeah, I'm definitely going to be, I'm going to be busy this evening on YouTube.
Excellent.
We'll have to do what they do in Gardener's Question Time now, you know. For a full list of plants, look on our website at www.
Download the fact sheet.
Oh, brilliant. Thanks, Phil.
All right. Thanks, Kate.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, could I ask a small favour? Please take the time to review the show and share us with your colleagues. It really does make a difference and will help others to find us too. To keep up to date with the latest happening from the underground, sign up to our email newsletter at theunderground.fm. I'm Kate Turner, the Gardener Guru. I'm a horticulturist, garden consultant, and presenter. To find out more, check out my website at gardenerguru.co.uk.
And I'm Phil Wright, the founding partner of Wright O'Barra, a creative marketing agency specializing in the home and garden sectors. And for anyone bringing a new product to market, we've created a handy 7-step guide to help take your product marketing from zero to hero. Find out more at writeobara.com. Thanks for listening.